Okay, today's daf is Shviyas, daf Yud Zayin. And we are on Tez Zayin Amid Beis, as we continue here in the second parak, Ad Emasai, another daf and a half to the second parak here, all about, remember this parak started off with a lot of Tosefes, Tosefes Shviyas, that was the discussion. That's why both of these first two parakim are called Ad Emasai. Until when could you work and plow in a Ste Lavan, a Ste Ilan, all the difference in details that we've had. And we've been talking about the past couple of days, the Egyptian bean, how sometimes it's used for its seed and sometimes it's used for its yarek. And we said yesterday, well, maybe it depends on, regarding Shemitah, it depends what your thought process is, right? If you're planning to use it for seed, for zera, so then it always goes, you treat it like a zera, you treat it like a legume, kitnios, and therefore it goes by the previous. And even the leafy stuff that grow, it's not called a vegetable, and therefore it goes by the previous. If zara li yarek, so then Shvius comes that it's all going to be usser. What about both? Zara lezera liyarek. Then we said the seed definitely goes by the previous. That's mutter. What about the yarek? So we said the yarek was going to be, technically it should be mutter, because the umdana is, this is how we read the Gemara yesterday, the umdana is that nobody wants their food to be usser, so it must be that even though he had yarek and zera and yarek in mind, and it should be split, but really he doesn't want his food to be usser, and if it was Shemitah produce, it would be usser, again based on the Rambam Pashtus of Sfichin being usser, so therefore technically it should be mutter, but it's also Mishamar Sain. Maris Ayin, because people are going to see you collecting it during Shemitah, and they're not going to know, and therefore it doesn't Mishur Maris Ayin. We ask, what about giving it to your animal? Is that also Mishur Maris Ayin? So one way of reading the Gemara, we read yesterday, it's not 100% clear, but one way of reading it is that you shouldn't do something that's a clear usage. I mean, giving it to your son or shliach, or harvesting it in regular rows. The way the Chaim Kanievsky understands that is, but giving it to your animal would be okay, because that's just a little bit here, a little bit there. Ela ma'at ma'at u'ma'achil behem tomiyad. That would be okay. That wouldn't be as noticeable. Remember, we had a whole amud of Gemara back in Kilayim about the Shita of Rav, that anything that's asur b'shamar asayin, afilu b'chadri chadarim asur, and we brought 10 different brises that seem to be against that. That there was a distinction between public and private when it comes to mar asayin, and here too, seems gives that impression. That something that's public, that's conspicuous, bino, shlucha, loket aluman, that would be a problem, but anything that's more private would be okay. Let's take the opportunity here for 2 minutes to speak about the Gemara's mechalik between bino and Shlucho, a shliach as a separate category. We know shlichos is a huge topic, right? If you were Rabbi Yosef Engel and you knew Kala Torah Kula and you were going to write many different lengthy discussions about many different halachic topics, what would be the first one that you would choose? So in Lekach Tov, Simen Aleph, shlichos, right? This is the first topic that he chooses to write about. And any discussion of shlichos, or often I should say, it starts with the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin in the Bavli on Daf Mem Gimel, where the Gemara has a machlokas between Rav and Debei Rav Shela about shliach nase aid or ein shliach nase aid. If there's a shliach, somebody's bringing a get. Somebody's a shliach for kiddushin. The Gemara says later on, shliach for mammon, maybe. Could they turn around and after fulfilling their shlichus, could they also be an aid about what they just did? Right? So the Gemara has a machlokas. The Gemara first says, Rav Amar, yes, shliach nase aid, alume kama limna lebilse. There's nobody better. He not only witnessed it, he actually did it. So he's the best aid that you can have. Debei Rav Shela Amri, ein shliach nase aid. No, ein shliach nase aid. Why? So first we said, oh, maybe because he didn't say atem edai. Is that the reason? Because he didn't appoint them as edim. But you never need that. You never need yichud edim. So why would that be a problem? There's an important ritva here that maybe you do need yichud edim in certain cases. But the pasha is that you don't need yichud edim. So the Gemara says, why would the Beir of Shela says a shliach cannot be an aid? Kivan to Amar Mar shlucha shaladim kamoso havile kagufe. Since we have a statement of shlucho shaladim kamoso, so therefore the shliach is like the baldavar, havale kagufe, and the baldavar can't testify about himself, so therefore we reject Shliach Nasaid. So what is the Nekudas Machlokas here between the Beir of Shela and Rav? So the way that the Achronim say it is that how do you look at Shlichus? How connected, how tight is the relationship between the Shliach and the Mishaleach? Right, where the Beir of Shela tells us, Shlucho Shalom Kamoso. Again, that Lashon, we've noted, the Gemara doesn't just say Shlichus Mahani. The Gemara says Shlucho Shalom Kamoso. If you take that phrase literally, that's a more graphic way of not just saying the halacha, but describing the halacha. Shlucho Shalom Kimoso. The Shliach is like the Baldavar. It doesn't say the Shlichus works. He's like the Baldavar. There's an identity connection. There's an affinity between the Mishaleach and the Shliach, and therefore there it's like one being, and therefore have like a gufe. Do you take that such a strong view of shlichus, or do you say no? They keep the mishaleach creates a shliach, and there's still independence between them, and that's maybe what Rav says. And shliach nasaid, they're still different. He's still different than the baldover. That's the machlok. That's how you would understand the machlokas between Rav Shela and Rav. This is how the Ar Sameach and any others also understand. But he first connects it. Why is it an Ar Sameach? Because he connects it to a machlokas between the Rambam and the Tur. Remember the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, if somebody is mitzaveh his wife to give a get, mitzaveh a shliach to write a get for his wife, and then the person becomes incapacitated, the person becomes nishtatev. So Gemara says you should really wait for the person, the shliach shouldn't give the get until the mishaleach gets better. What if he gives the get even if at the time the mishaleach is still incapacitated? Does the get work at all? Right? If he gives a get, he does not wait for the person to come back to his senses. He's a efshar, right? He's a shota at this moment. And he gives the get on his behalf. Right? The get, he gives the get. Does it work at all? So the Torah says, get batel. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. Because you're working on behalf of the mishaleach, and the mishaleach can't give the get now, so batel ashlichus. And the Rambam says, get pasel. Get pasel, which means mida oraisa, it is a get. Mida rabbana, that's right. That's what the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchos Gittin. Whenever I write batel, it means batel daraisa. Whenever I write pasel, it's pasel derabbanan. Know those words that I'm going to use. So, ask the Ar Sameach, how could the Rambam say what he says? How could you say that it's a get pasel? That it works mida oraisa? The Mishaleach is out of commission. The Mishaleach can't give the get now. It has to be that the shliach, according to the Rambam, the shliach has such power and becomes and goes into the shoes of the mishaleach so much that even if the mishaleach sometimes can't do it, the shliach can. Ubaze pligi, says the Ar Sameach in Hilchas Gerushin. And he's talking about Rav Shela and Rav, and then relating back to the Rambam and the Chiddush. Rav Shela savar da shliach nase kegufo shel mishaleach. V'rav savar derak shahapeula shel hashliach misyacheses al mishaleach v'ave ki'ilu nase migufa mishaleach. Aval ein hashliach bal davar sheipasul le'edus v'ze borer. So that's the chilek between the Beir Rav Shela and Rav, and that's the chilek between the Rambam and the Tur. The Tur would say, no, you're an extension, and therefore, once the mishaleach falls away, then you lose. If you look in Rav Yosef Engel, he has three approaches to shlichus. And again, he has 20 pages highlighting those three approaches. Right? We just said two. You know, how connected they are. So his three approaches are, do you say, like the most extreme approach, like we just said, from the Beir of Shela and the Rambam, Havili Kegufe, the shliach is the mishaleach. Is that the most extreme? Or do we say, no. The shliach isn't the mishaleach, but the maisa of the shliach is ke'ilu, it's the maisa of the mishaleach. It's as if the mishaleach did it. They're not the same being, but the maisa of one is considered the maisa of the other. Is that the chiddush of shlichus? Or even less than that. The shliach did the maisa, not the mishaleach. But the effect of the shliach's maisa could work for the mishaleach. The chalos, right? Shimon could give a ring to a woman, and Reuven's married. How'd that work? Reuven didn't give a ring. Shimon gave the ring. But the effect of Shimon's giving the ring, after being asked and Nimne by Reuven, is enough. So that's the third. Ol Dilma Gama Maisa in Enemis Yacheses L'Mishaleach Rak L'Shliach V'Nechshav Shashliach Asa Maisa Lo Mishaleach Rak Shatora Gazra Sha'av Sha'adam Acher Asa HaMaisa Lohu Al Kolze. Even if you didn't do the act, Kiva Cheshel Cholokach Mo'elas HaMaisa Shela Acher Avuro Kilo Asahu. So those are the three different approaches that the Rabbi Yosef Engel has. And again, many different sugyas in Shas that talk about this concept of shlichus. Again, it's Shomea Kaone might work to, is connected to shlichus, right? What is it? That itself is its own question that the Achronim have, right? When you make kiddush for me and I hear it and I say Amen, is that as if I'm saying the kiddush? Mamish, you're my mouthpiece, right? Or no, you're not my mouthpiece. You're saying it, but I get credit for it, and that's the Shomea Kaone, right? Is there a lachadchila for me to say it myself, right? Is that balanced with Barovam Hajus Melech to have one person to say it? Again, that's another sugya to look at in terms of two people being involved, and how do we look at the relationship between them. So that's the just a little bit in terms of shlichus, as we have here in our Gemara, that in a case where you have this Egyptian bean, that it's, the issue is going to be Maris Ayin, then you can't act with it in a public fashion, giving it to your son or to your shliach, or harvesting it normally, but you might be able to give it to your animal a little bit under the table. Continue. Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbun. Now, three lines from the bottom. Im nekra aguma mutter. In this case, though, there is a case that's mutter. If the whole stem got ripped out and the whole bean plant is not connected to the ground anymore, then everybody knows that that's not going to create a Maris Ayin problem. Mutter. There's no Maris Ayin there anymore because it's not connected. It's clearly not part of the rest of the harvest. V'yafilukamand amar asr. And even if in a situation where it's usur, and therefore you're not collecting the leaves, hayaloki benimsa betocho yerek mutter. If you're basically collecting the zroim, which we said are mutter, because that's from the previous year, right? If you had kavana lazera uli yerakos, if you're collecting the zroim and one or two leaves got mixed in there, so then that's okay too, because again, that's not noticeable, and the only issue, as we said, is a maris ayin issue. Where else do we see this in the following story? Kahada Barnash Ol Ta'un Eser Meisarin Delubi Meiser L'Rabbi Yirmiyah. There was a man who was carrying 10 bundles. Eser Meisarin Delubi. Right, we had Lubi back in Meseches Kilayim. Right, we said Egyptian beans, when they're moist, are called Lubis. Right, and when they're, and that's what he said. Remember the Gemara there asked, if you have somebody from Luba, right, are they included in the Isser of Mitzri Vadomi? You have to worry about the first couple of generations. We spoke about it at the end of Shir, the beginning of Shir yesterday. You have to worry. So the Gemara said, well, they call Egyptian moist beans Lubis. So that shows that Lubi is from Egypt. Amazing that just because of how you people call it, so that would have an effect. Remember there we spoke about, well, how could there even have been a shaila about that? Didn't Sancherev Mevalbel Kol Ha'umos? So what's the Lamaisa anyway about that shaila? But anyway, that's where Lubi came up back. You see the Mara Folda quotes it in the 8th parak of Kilayim. We had that a couple of weeks ago. So if there was a man that was carrying all these bundles of the Egyptian beans and he was bringing it to Rabbi Yirmiyah for Meiser, right? Pashas, Rabbi Yirmiyah was a Levi, and this was Meiser Rishon, and he was bringing it to Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Amar Lei, lo, su avad kein. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, don't do that. Don't gather so much at once. Don't gather so much at once, because I guess this is a case of, you know, it looks bad. It looks like this is taken from Shemitah. Maybe he thought it was from the previous year, but he said, no, it looks bad. Me'ikar Adin. Again, why Me'ikar Adin is a mutter, as we said yesterday? Because the umdina is that nobody wants their produce to be ne'esar. And therefore, we say zera is the ikar kavana that the person added. Everything was nigrar after that. And therefore, this is really sixth year produce, so it should be going to Meiser Rishon. Remember, Meiser Rishon is every year. Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani switch in year 3 and 6. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says to him, no, don't do this. Don't do this. Lo tevet kein, lo tilkot el atzarcha delafsa. Only harvest what's enough for your own frying pan. Delafsa, right, or their own pot, the marafolda, ilfis vakadera. Like we know, just regular laws of Shemitah. You're allowed to harvest in the normal way what you just need for yourself, but not more. So you see from there that Rabbi Yirmiyah said this Maris Ayin is a problem. Good. So now we get to the flip side of what we were just talking about. We just discussed on Tezayin Mebeis, if you have this Egyptian bean that was going from year 6 to year 7, what was your thought process? Now we get to, what about going from year 7 to year 8? Year 7 to 8. So the same exact halachas, as we'll see, without the Maris Ayin issue. Because in the 8th year, there's no Maris Ayin of people, you know, thinking that you're doing something wrong. So let's see. Zar'o lefnei Rosh Hashanah Shminis, v'nichnasa Shminis, Right? If you planted these Egyptian beans, pashtus, during Shemitah. During Shemitah. Before the eighth year, the nechnasa shminis, and then the eighth year came, bein zara, bein yarko aser, it's all aser. If you planted it during Shemitah, and you had in mind lazera, let's add in that detail, right? Zaro lazera, I think one of the Mepharshim even have that girsa. Yeah, zaro lazera, if you look in the Mara folder, he has in that word. Zaro lazera, if you had in mind the zera, which always means you go by the previous year, which is this, in this case, Shemitah, then it's all going to be aser. What be aser? It's all svichin, as we said from the Rambam. Zaro liyerek, and if you had in mind that you only want to plant it for the leafy growths that come afterwards, lifnei Rosh Hashanah, Shemitah, v'nechsela Shemitah, bein zara ben yakov mutter. That's all mutter, as we said. That goes by the later year, because if you're planting it for the leaves, so then it's considered a vegetable, and you go by basar lakita. You go by when it's harvested. Remember the rules. Remember the rule. Remember the rules. What goes after hashrasha? What goes after chanata? Shlish? And what goes after lakita? So vegetables always go by lakita. Remember what we said? Why do vegetables go by lakita? Because all the later rains play an integral role in its growth, and therefore, you know, it goes by when it's cut, because that's when all the rains that just happened to it and caused it to grow, that helps determine its year. So, if you had in mind Lazera, then it's like the previous year, Shemitah, and it's Usser. If you had in mind leaves, so then it's like the later year, it's like a vegetable, and it's Mutter. It's an eighth year. What if you had both in mind? Zara's Lazera Uliyarek. So what do we say about the sixth to seventh year? We say, Negra didn't it's all Mutter, but Marasayan for the Yerakos in the Shemitah year. So here, Zara Lazera Uliyarek Levnei Rosh Hashanah Hashemitis. Vedechos Hashemitis. Zaro Aser, it's Zara's Aser because that's Shemitah, right? And you go by the previous year, the Yarko Mutter. But here the Yarko's going to be Mutter because there's no Marasayan in the eighth year. You're, you know, harvesting vegetables, fine, it's the eighth year. Nobody has, nobody is going to think anything less of you, right? That's the Marafolda. To Bishminis, Ein Ba, Fila Marasayan, Ein Sol Yarek, Tishchiach Lehem. It's very common to have these in the eighth year. There's not going to be any Marasayan. Good. There is a major machlokas here between the Rambam and the Ravid. What's the case that we were just talking about? I just said it as the Rambam. That you planted it in Shemitah? Really? We're talking about an Avarian? We're talking about somebody who planted something during Shemitah? That's what we're telling what the halacha is? I guess he cares about Hilchas Trumas and Maisras, but he doesn't care about Hilchas Shemitah? Right? So sometimes we find that there are... Maseches Yuma. Sometimes we find that there are Jews that focus on some halachas, not other halachas. Arachayim HaKadosh in Dvarim. So we find that there are hierarchies, that sometimes there are people that focus on some and not the others. So that could be what's going on here. Right? The way the Rambam formulates this is exactly as I formulated, exactly as I said it. Somebody did the wrong thing. Somebody did the wrong thing and planted during Shemitah. The Rambam says, Avar Perek Dalet Halacha Tezvav. Avar Vizaro Bishvias. Yatsa Lishminis. Somebody avar means he violated. Avar v'zara b'shviz yatsa lishminis, and it says v'alacha. Quotes our Gemara. Im zara lazera bein zara bein yarka aser b'motzai shviz kishar svichin. If you had zera in mind, then it's all shmita and it's aser like other svichin. We pointed out this line of the Rambam is ironic in the past, in that he's saying actually planting during shmita is not like the model iser. If you plant it during Shemitah, it's just like other svichin that grow that we ask for midrabanan. If you actually plant it during Shemitah, that's like secondary, right? You should say svichin or aser like if you actually planted it during Shemitah. The Rambam has the other lashon. He says if you actually planted it during Shemitah, it's going to be aser like other svichin. And if zara liyarek, then it's going to be mutter. It says exactly our case. Says the Ravid, lo matsinu bizorea b'shviyas shum heter. What's the Rambam talking about? The Gemara is just going through Avaryanim. What would be the halacha if an Avaryan planted during Shemitah? So the answer could be, yeah, maybe you got the fruit. Maybe you didn't actually plant. Or maybe he's just wants to follow some halachas and other halachas. There are many times. What if you're going to eat something not kosher? You have to make a bracha? Machlokas Rambam Ravid. Machlokas Machaber in the Ramah. In Shulchan Aruch. So sometimes you find, you know, we're not all consistent. But the Ravid says, I don't understand what the Rambam is talking about. Shari Amru, we said earlier in the second parak, if you plant something right before Shemitah, within 30 days, you got to rip it out. You got to rip it out. Hanoteya b'amavre pachad mishloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah, also l'kaimam b'shviyas. V'hanoteya b'shviyas b'mezid yakar. So what's the answer? So you are an okar. If you weren't oker, does that aser the fruit? So the answer is no. It doesn't aser the fruit. The Ravid says, lo mishkachas lo, maybe this is talking about a case where a goy was oreya. And you paskin, ein kinyin lo goy la hafkiya midei maisris. Maybe that's what we're talking about. That a goy planted it. Or you planted it in an area near Eretz Yisrael that has a chumas and maisris midirabanan. Those are the only two cases I can come up with, says the Ravid. Inami b'mekomosh ha-shviyas midivrayim. De'efshar de'lo amrina b'hu yakar. Maybe there you don't say you have to uproot it if you planted it during Shemitah. But the Kesef Mishnah and the Maradvaz say, the Rambam is talking about if you did it, if it happened. If it happened, what is the halacha? We're focusing on what's the halacha of the fruit. Right? You're right. What you did was a problem. But what's the halacha of the produce that grew? But again, there are examples of this. Remember the most, I like to quote, extreme example of messed up hierarchy in value system. Again, I'm not saying that Shemitah is less serious than Shubas and Maisers. It's just saying you're picking one over the other. But the messed up value system, as the Gemara in Yuma, Chav Gimel or so, where the Gemara talks about a famous story in the world of stories, right? Two Kohanim running up the ramp. Right, Maisa b'shnei b'kohanim shayuk shneim shavin v'ratzin v'olam b'kevesh. Two Kohanim are going up the ramp to do the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. You don't get a high more spiritual than that. And what happens? One of them goes out of the other one, and the other one doesn't want the other guy to be able to do the avodas. He takes out his knife that he's probably going to use to go shecht the karbon, or just have it in his hand. You don't shecht on top of the mizbeach, and he stabs the other kohen. Stabs the other kohen. Notal sakin v'taka lo b'libo. So that's already one mess up, right? You want to do the avoda so badly that you're ready to commit murder for that. And then the Gemara continues. And the Rabbi Tzadok gets on the Milos HaSulam and he says, oy vey, you know, when you find an anonymous corpse in the middle of nowhere, you have Egla Rufa. But here, who's going to do a kapara for the Beis HaMikdash? And everybody starts crying. Go kalam b'chia. All of a sudden, the father of this Kohen, who is also a Kohen, right, comes and sees his son on the floor. He's not dead yet. So what does he say? Call Atzalah. He doesn't say that. He says, quickly take the knife out before it becomes Tameh and my son dies. Right, well, what's he talking about? It's a messed up hierarchy, says the Gemara. Lola Meitcha. Shekasha Aleim Taras Kelim Yosef Mishvichas Damim. They were more worried about Tumah V'Tara than they were about human life. So again, that's the a mess up. So that's an extreme. That's an extreme. But you know, it's alluded to here in this Rama, right? The mitzvahs are a package. We have to view mitzvahs as a package deal. We can't just choose. So if we have time, we'll do an Arachayim HaKadosh about mitzvahs being a package deal. Okay, but anyway, it's a Rama Mraivid Machlokas about what the case is here. The Rama used the lashon of Avar, which means he did something wrong. Good. Says the Gemara, the next Mishnah. Allah Chavav, the next Mishnah. Bitzalim asarisim. Sterile onions. Asaris is impotent, right? Sterile. So we'll see this means onions that don't produce seeds. Bitzalim asarisim. Upola mitzri. Shemana me'em ayim shloshim yom levnei Rosh Hashanah. So we're about to talk about, let's say something is a vegetable, and vegetables, as we know, go by when they're picked, lakita, that determines the year. But I could do something through my actions that show that I'm not treating them as a vegetable anymore. Even if they're in the ground, we said, why do vegetables go by lakita? Because the water makes such a difference in their lives, in their existence, that, you know, you wait until all the water, it rained, and then you pick it. That's how it goes by the second year. But what if, says the Mishnah, I withhold water from them for a month? So once I do that, I have shown that I'm not treating it like a vegetable anymore. Because the vegetable going by lakita is all because of this, tons of water. But if I dafka withhold water from them, so then that shows I'm not treating them as a vegetable. Then it could switch to the status of zera, and it could go by hashrasha. Go by the earlier year. So these items, Basalam Asarisim, Upola Mitzri, and again, Upola Mitzri, that you originally had Yerek in mind. So it was supposed to be the second year. And then you switch because you did this. Shemana Mehem Maim Shloshim Yom Levnei Rosh Hashanah, Bis Asrin Lisha Avar. So that's called sixth year fruit. Umutaram Bishvias, and there's no Svichin. Because you've shown that it's no longer a Yerek. You're not going to go by harvest. You see the Marafolda? Yatsu mitoras yirakos. Hagadelos al kalmayim. It has now left the status of a vegetable that grows based on the water that it received. V'naase kasada beisabal, and it becomes like a beisabal, right? Beisabal is one that goes by rain. Shemistafkin amegishamim hilkach mezasim l'shaavar, and that's why the year that's determined is the previous year. V'imlav, but if you didn't withhold 30 days of water, asur and b'shvias, then it's considered Shemitah fruit, right? It's the seventh year, Shemitah fruit, Shemitah produce, umisasun, l'shana abab, and it goes by the future, it goes by the next year, goes by the next year. So that's one way, says the Gemara. And what about if you have shelba'al, right? You have a field that already gets watered from the rain, so you don't have to, you don't prevent any watering. It gets watered much less, because it's like the Marafolda says, it's in a valley, right? All the water gathers there. So how do you show through your actions that you want to treat this as a zera, not as a vegetable? So, Shemana mehem, mayim shtei onos. Whenever you water them much less frequently, but if you skip two waterings, that shows that you're not interested in its being as a yerek. And that would allow it to be a zera, which would mean 6 year produce. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chomor mim shalosh, chomor say three. Three times you have to skip the watering. Good. Ma'o batzi l'masarisim. What are these sterile onions? Ilin botzlaya kufraya. These onions from the villages. The law of zera that doesn't produce zera. Okay. Sris is a big sugyo. We're not going to do that now. The word comes up here, but in terms of the isser of saris and the status of saris, that's also comes up in halacha. Shemana miyamayim shloshim yom, am Rabbi Mana, kivan, here's the svara, as we said outside. Mikiva shemana miyamayim shloshim yom, levnei Rosh Hashanah, if you withhold water from them for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, so they lose their status of vegetable, and nasu kabal, they become like a field that relies on rainwater, and therefore it is a changed status, and it could be considered 6 year. Rabbi Yona boy, l'mafreyo hu nasa zera. Take out the next word. Mikano lahaba? Question mark. If you withheld the water for 30 days, so when does it switch from yerek to zera? Retroactively or not? L'mafreya or no, only after the 30 days. So Gemara says, ma'nafek mimineon. What's the difference? What's the difference? Right? We assume that you're picking it during the 30 days, so then it didn't get to 30 days withheld yet. So, like, what's the nafkamina? So the Gemara says the following. Lakat betoch shloshim ula'achar shloshim. Let's say you pick some of it during the 30 days before you finished your 30-day withholding, and some you did after. So afterwards, after the 30 days, that's for sure considered zera the previous year. But what about before you get there? In tamer l'mafreya hu nasa zera ma'aser mizel ze. If you say it's l'mafreya, that once you wait 30 days, so now retroactively the whole thing is considered from the previous year because it's not yerek anymore, so then you can be ma'aser from what you picked during the 30 and afterwards because it all goes back and it all already has the status of zera and not yerek from the beginning. Im tamer mikan l'aba, but if you say it's only from after, after the 30 days, then until you get to the 30 days, so up until that point, it's not called Zera, it's called Yerek. Ironically, during the 30 days, it's still called vegetable, and therefore it goes by the following year. But once you did the 30 days, what you pick afterwards is going to go by the previous year. Because that's the, in terms of one's mindset, in terms of what you're going to use it for. Okay, we could talk a lot about water giving life to these plants and relying on the water. Ein mayim ela Torah. We don't have life without Torah. But we'll leave that for now. Says the Mishnah now. We'll finish off with this Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Hadaluin. Gourds. We've spoken a lot about gourds over these past couple of months. Shekayim lazera. You have a gourd that is ripe and it's ready. But you're leaving it on the on its vine because you're not going to use it to eat as a gourd. You're going to use it because you want to replant its seeds. So you leave it until maybe it's going to get dried out, and then you're going to use it for zera. So which, again, and this is going into Shemitah. So if you leave it, you're going to harvest it during Shemitah. So does that make it a Shemitah fruit? Then it'll be usher. So im hokshu lefnei Rosh Hashanah, if it became totally hard and dried out before Rosh Hashanah, v'nifsalu me'ochel, and it's no longer edible, So then it already doesn't have the status of food anymore once Shemitah starts. So then mutter l'kaimam b'shvius. So then that's, it's mutter. It's not called svichin. And it doesn't have kedusha of Shemitah. The imla, but it was, if it wasn't totally hardened, and therefore it's still edible, it's still called a gourd going into Shemitah, and these gourds, would go by lakita, so the status would be Shemitah, so aslakaim and b'shvius, then it would be aslo to be mekaimid. Again, according to the Rambam, that means it would be svichin. According to the other Rishonim that say svichin don't apply if it grows before, so then this would mean it just, you can't act in the normal way with them during Shemitah because it has kedushas shvius. Hatamaro shalayan asuras b'shvius, but the soft sprouts that always remain edible, that stick out of them, those are always asur, because those never become hardened, and those would always be considered food going into Shemitah. Okay, mirabsin be'afar lavan b'shvius, divrei Rabbi Shimon. So we spoke about this a little bit already. What about watering? Watering during Shemitah. That for sure is not asur daraisa. Right, that's not one of the four things mentioned in the Torah. Right, the Zeriya and Zemira. Watering, mashkemayim lezroim. So on Shabbos, that's asa daraisa. Right, that promotes growth, and therefore that's a tolda on Shabbos. What about during Shemitah? So we say that is not daraisa, and you can give a little bit in order to help it grow, or to so it doesn't die. So merabsin, the Rav Chaim Gnevsky is medayik, it doesn't say mashkin here. Merabsin means a little water, sprinkling. Sprinkling. You're allowed to sprinkle some water on the stay lavan, right, on this field. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yaakov Oser, he asers, he says, even that little bit is not allowed. We'll have to see in the Gemara why, what the machlokas is about. And finally, the last halacha here in the Mishnah, which we also alluded to, we quoted this earlier in the Masechta. Mimar sin. But oris b'shvius, if somebody has a rice field of rice that grew before Shemitah, you could add water to it and stir it, like stir the mud of a rice field. Fulda mashkin afar ha'oris ma'arvanas ha'mamayim b'shvius divrei Rabbi Shimon avolo machaskin, but you can't prune it. You can't cut off the extra leaves because that's pruning. Pruning is also during Shemitah. That's one of the Isurei D'Oraisa. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll continue more about gourds and Deluin tomorrow in the last daf of the second parak of Maseches Shvius.